4.
It took them the best part of a month. Not knowing how March would receive Sadok's story, or, in fact, if he would believe it, they dared not take the direct road, but went by the tracks used by peasants and charcoal burners, rough riding through forest or along secluded river valleys, or across low-lying marshland, which, when they reached March's borders and entered the summer country, was perilous with bog and quagmire. Anna found that she had money in plenty, besides what she had snatched up as she packed her belongings and what Dristan had pressed on her. She found another pouch of gold in her saddlebag, put there, presumably, by Dristan. So the travellers were able to pay their way. Now and again they managed to put up at a reasonably respectable tavern, where they could rest themselves and their horses for a day or so. But usually they were thankful to find the shelter of some wayside cottage or a farmer's barn, or even, at the worst, a shepherd's hut, abandoned for the summer while the shepherd kept his flock on the high hillsides. One thing the rough riding and the constant care needed for the child, and the support and encouragement she had to give Sara, did for Anna. She had no time for grief. The days were a strain of riding, finding a safe way, looking, as the day waned, for shelter. And at night she was so tired that she slept soundly and without dreams. It took them 3 weeks to reach Glevum, and then they had to take a roundabout route to the bridge. But once across the Severn, and beyond the edges of the summer country, where the High King's men kept the roads between them and the Cornish border, they felt safe, even though Anna feared that March would guess where she was heading. The castle where Anna's cousin had lived, Cray Garian, lay towards the head of the Wye Valley, a little way back into the hills and beside one of the tributary streams. The widow, Theodora, had recently married again, an elderly man called Barnabas, who had been an officer in one of the High King's troops. Anna and her cousin had never been close, but she had, from time to time, exchanged greetings with Theodora. All parties, of course, knew that, since Theodora had no children, Anna's claim to Cray Garian and its estate took precedence of that of the widow and her new husband. So Anna had every right to seek refuge there. But there had been no time to send a message, report.